Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Oh my gosh, what an incredible start to the Formula One season.
We should lock them up more often.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was incredible. This is John Massengill. That was Jonathan Green. Les Kaiser's in the studio at his house, like we all are, and Dave O'Neill is with us as well. But man, we are so excited because that was an incredible race to start the Formula One season. And I've actually called up to the top floor of the studio here and said to the bosses, we need another hour. We're going to go 2 hours. Okay, not really, but we need 2 hours because there was an unbelievable amount of action. We had, what, 9 cars didn't finish the race? Unbelievable.
Pretty impressive for a comeback weekend. I've had more notes than I've ever had. It's great. A lot of good stories. I'm wondering, though, Dave, is that sort of attrition rate because of the lack of time on track or lack of sheer laps?
I think some of it you probably got to swing towards, like the brake failure. I mean, we don't know what failed. They said it was the disc or the rotor. And then we've had wheels fall off. You would have thought there's enough time to practice over the 12 weeks on that side. But again, could have been a mechanical failure with the nut or the axle there. Punctures, a lot of power unit failures as well, with Verstappen being the biggest one in particular. Shame, really, because I thought that would have been a good punch up the front there. Right. And then the Renault and the Williams as well with the Mercedes. So three of the engine manufacturers having problems there. But yeah, very interesting race.
Yeah, well, let me run down the finishing order here because Bottas went wire to wire. And after all the penalties, I'm just going to run down the running order here. So it was Bottas wins, Leclerc second, Lando Norris on the podium, Lewis Hamilton after his 5-second penalty, Carlos Sainz, Sergio Perez, Pierre Gasly, Esteban Ocon, Antonio Giovinazzi in ninth, and Vettel in 10th, wrapping up the points. Then it was Latifi in 11th. And then that was the last finishing car. Kvyat, Albon, Raikkonen, Russell, Grosjean, Magnussen, Stroll, Ricciardo, and Verstappen all did not finish the race. But, you know, right towards the end of the race, let's talk about the 5-second penalty for Lewis Hamilton. I think that was well-deserved. But, Dave, for one, you were arguing with me a little bit right before we went on the air.
Yeah, I mean, it's close. It's a close call. We've seen calls like that being given and not given in the past. I think that, you know, Lewis had his line. He also had momentum through the corner. In my opinion, it was, I don't know, the penalty probably wasn't, in my opinion, where it should have been. If you look at the final closing laps where Norris went up the inside of Perez, that was more of a harpoon move there for me. But again, you know, it's difficult to say what's going on there. But anyway, long and short of it, Hamilton's got the penalty and it's put him down in fourth place and mixed it up.
I think had Albon not spun round, because you can have incidents where they literally just touch and bounce, I think all bets were off at that point. If Albon had continued forward without spinning, I don't think they would have given him the penalty. Like, I agree with David, it was a bit close. And it's a shame, but I felt for Albon because I thought it was a great move.
Yeah,
that was the saddest thing, is that having Albon, and you know, the television commentators had it right, is that he was seeing so aggressive. He was, but you know what? I think I would rather see my driver doing that. What about you, Dave?
Absolutely, yeah. You don't get any places by staying in the same place. So you got to have a go. And I think he had a fantastic race. You know, he showed he's worth his money and he's in the right team. He's going to be good value, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, we saw a similar move. We saw a similar move with Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris. No, I think it was Perez when Lando Norris did basically the same thing to Sergio Perez on the inside and got away with it as well.
Yeah, I agree. You know, on the Hamilton interference there, I think the only argument that Mercedes could come back with is he already had, he had so much momentum going that he couldn't turn in any sharper. He was already on a race line, and halfway through the course when he saw the left wheel or the wheel ahead of him, that he couldn't have made it. He just had to carry the momentum. I think that's really the only argument that they would have.
Hey, speaking of wheels, what about Kimi Raikkonen's wheel? It looked like I was actually on Twitter right before it happened. I'm assuming that was just a wheel nut that wasn't tightened in the pits. Is that right? Is that what y'all think?
Yeah, I think the wheel got placed and then it could have been cross-threaded. And what typically happens there is the nuts are aluminium. In most cases, and it will go tight. And then, you know, you've got 2 seconds to make it, or you've got half a second to make a decision. So wheel off, wheel on, nut on, and you can feel it. I've done it myself. You can feel it when it goes tight. And then what happens from that point is once the gun has achieved its torque, there's a sensor on the gun. So if you can imagine both axles, so the left front, it had done his job, the right front had done its job, it achieved its torque, and then what happens from that point is it sends a signal to the jack at the front, and then the jack at the front gets dumped. It's got a hydraulic system on it, so the car was dumped, the traffic light went to green, and the car exited. You'll probably see quite a hefty penalty handed out for that, probably, I don't know, guessing €50,000 for that. It's dangerous, obviously, wheels flying across the circuit while everyone's out racing. But again, no one really means to do that. It's just it's a hiccup that happens in the system, and they'll go back and update the software in the pit stop equipment.
So do you think the gun guy had no couldn't tell at all? In other words, the sensor went off. It said, I've got my torque that I need. And that you don't think the gun guy knew, because he probably would have said something and Raikkonen wouldn't have been full speed.
Yeah, I mean, that system in particular, I don't know anything about. I can only speak to about the system that I know. But once you've achieved the torque, it's like, you know, when you lock your front door with the key, you know, when you've turned it fully all the way around, you go, yep, that's locked type thing. It's really as simple as that. It depends how experienced the guy is. So when it does cross thread, the sound or the feel is slightly different. So he might have known that it cross-threaded, and there's different scenarios within that procedure in the pit. So the one we had at Haas was you do your hands like that, which means that you have a problem. You haven't got any time to communicate apart from a signal. And then from that point, it's down for the pit wall to, which was normally my call, to stop the car. And then that's when you have to pull it back and put things right. So I haven't actually seen what happened in the pits there. So I didn't see any of the body language and what went on. But when we have another look at it, you could probably see what unfolded on that side. Mm. Could have been a faulty piece of equipment, but not normally, because everything goes through inspection before it comes to the circuit, before it gets used. So, yeah, be interesting.
Okay, any of you betting in Vegas, who would have bet on a Bottas Leclerc Norris podium? How about that, guys?
pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool to say the least.
Hey, John, let's get our driver's eye view. Spike, what did you think of the ultimately, what did you think of the Albon move? Do you think it was fair?
I think it was a good pass by him, or I should say almost pass. I believe Hamilton should have given him just a little bit more room. I don't think Albon really came back across the track or had done anything like that, because it looked like he was all the way out on the curb. And you're supposed to give a full car what's between the white lines. So it's a bit controversial, but I think Hamilton got the penalty that he deserved, which is unfortunate for him and unfortunate for Albon as well. No one really wants to see an incident like that.
Yeah, I can see it both ways. In the moment, I thought that it looked like, actually in the first replay, when I first saw the replay, I said, that's on Hamilton. And honestly, I'm glad that it turned out that way, because I think you could have gone either way with it, and it makes for a better end result and more excitement for the rest of it. So, all right. So Spike Kolbecker, he's our driver guest. What's your take overall in this race? I mean, unbelievable from a, you know, excitement and action standpoint. What do you think?
I think the time off really made a difference with the teams and the cars and the motors and the testing that they were able to do. It has really affected the car, I should say, because there's many, many failures of cars. And I mean, look at Haas, they both had brake failures according to them. And that's definitely a lack of testing and figuring out those minor details. And people were saying, yeah, this is just the first race of the year, but it's a no drop championship. So if I was them, I'd be getting their stuff figured out and get it set for next race weekend.
I think one thing that came into play, it wasn't real pretty. Some of those pit stops, remember, they've had to make adjustments for the COVID situation and the scenario that's rolling out right now. I think that came into play. Dave, what did those pit stops look like to you sitting near seat?
From the ones I've seen, I know as soon as the lockdown had finished, all the teams were in and they were doing pit stop practice in the workshops and outside of the workshops as well. Some of the cars have like small engines in. They drive around the car parks at the factories and practice, but there's nothing like the real thing. You know, it's having a car coming towards you at 60 k's or whatever the speed limit was today is one thing, and then having to manage a hot wheel when they do all the practices at the workshop, they're cold, you know. So you've got the hot wheel, you've got all the other elements, the noise that goes into it. So I think they're okay. It's not as if they don't practice, but the only real practice you get is on the Sunday afternoon. And you have to be the best. So,
hey, Dave, I got another question for you. Mercedes kept talking about in the race about telling the drivers, stay off the curbs. And they did it to a pretty urgent level, but they kept talking about this transmission sensor. What do you think that was? And I mean, I can't even imagine all the different sensors in an F1 car, but what do you think that was? That what kind of sensor, and, you know, a between the engine transmission or something?
Yeah, it sounded to me. So what happens on F1 cars is you normally have a default sensor as well. So for argument's sake, we're talking about the gear pot sensor, I think they were referring to during the race. One of them probably went default zero. And then they had the other one that they had to bring into the system. So that's the other thing. Just sorry to go off on a bit of a tangent with the Hamilton penalty. He could have been managing this pot problem that he had, or the gear sensor problem. So he might have been doing something on the steering wheel. I know professional drivers and everything, but once you're trying to manage that or nurse the car home, that's another part of it, which could have been why Hamilton didn't give the space required. He is a fair driver. But yeah, going back to that sensor, they were both managing this gear pot sensor. And as we talked about at the beginning of the show, it's quite a tough circuit. So all the curbs you rattle over do tend to shake things around. And of course, the testing they've done is in Barcelona. It's a pretty smooth circuit. You don't really use you know, bunch of curb like you do in Austria. So they'll have to go back to the drawing board, see what, you know, why the sensor got shaken around so much, whether it needs AV mounting, whether it's getting hot, it could be knocking on something. But it sounds, if it was one car, it'd be different, but both cars, it sounds like maybe a mounting issue or a thermal issue. So they had to manage that. You could see on the pit wall, they were pretty nervous about that, having a 1-2 go away from them. When James Vowles had to get involved and tell them to stay off the curbs, it putting two and two together, it sounded like it was some form of vibration issue that was knocking the pot out. So,
and it's supposed that it could even be a, you know, it's a whole new season, everything's new setup. It could be a sensor that's not placed properly or something. I mean, we've got all this shaking around, so it might not have even been an issue, but I'd have done the same thing if I'm Mercedes. You've got a big lead. Don't risk it. But let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion of the amazing start to the Formula One season.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunter Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I'm sure the Netflix boys have a microphone on Mr. Steiner after today's race. Hey, yeah. Dave O'Neill, I want to get your opinion on that, but we got a caller on the line. Let's take that. We have Mike from South Carolina. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Oh, I'm just having a great day listening to Formula One.
All right, it's back, baby. It's back. So what'd you think?
Yes, Well, let me say this first. I tried to watch the virtual. After about three laps, I couldn't do it. didn't watch anything. I'd watch reruns of old races. But I say I really enjoyed it. I'm always pulling for an underdog, anyone that's not out there just doing it every time. So Botas is a favorite if he's able. I like to see that. I always love watching Kimmy and using my XM radio. And I travel for a living. I drive one of those large trucks with a bunch of vehicles on it out of Bowling Green, Kentucky, hauling a Corvette all over America.
Oh, very, very nice.
So last night was really entertaining.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, they won. The C8 Corvette won. I couldn't believe it, man. I saw that. It was late o'clock, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first effort and their 100th Corvette win. It was really, really good.
Oh, that's great. Well, I've had a couple of those vehicles that you've been driving around, so that's awesome, man. That's very cool.
I wish I could have one, but I do get to put them on and take them off.
Well, Mike, that's great. So, who's your favorite today, in Formula One? Yeah.
Favorite still active would have to be Kimmy. You know, I know what I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I know that is not right.
I loved it when he, race or two later, he hits the side road, goes down there, turns around, comes back. And I was just thinking, yes, tell him, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I got this.
Yes.
Well, Mike, you were about to say the race today. Yeah.
The race today, I thoroughly enjoyed. Again, I had to leave the house on my way back from this COVID thing. We started shipping 2 weeks ago, but I'm on my way back to Kentucky from Carolina, and was able to see like the first six laps at the house, and then I tuned in the XM, and the race. The part that really thrilled me, that I thought was really going to be ironically, if that's the correct word, or funny, is that after a 5-second penalty, Hamilton's still going to be on the podium.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. And then it turns as it did and did and did. And on the penalty, I will say, and you guys brought this up, had they been able to continue as they were, as a racing incident. But when that guy got knocked out and then was already taking third, going for second, I think he had a chance to fight for the win.
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that was, you know, when he was taken out that way, then the penalty needed to be imposed. That's me on it. So where are you guys based out of?
We're based out of Austin, Texas, right down the road a piece from Circuit of the Americas.
Austin, that's why Stevie Ray is in your break time.
Yeah, you know it.
I was down there. I stood by and got the statue and me in the picture. And then two or three winter or some years later, we found out exactly why he said the sky's crying, because the statue was in water.
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Hey, Michael, thanks a lot, buddy.
I did get my only F1 race was in Austin at Circuit of Americas, and I'm on my bucket list is I want to see South by Southwest someday.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, well, maybe after COVID. Mike, thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate you calling in.
What's left besides motorsports? Rock and roll and barbecue.
There you go.
That'll work.
You guys have a great one.
All right, thanks,
Mike.
Oh, that's great.
Donna, I'm surprised you didn't ask him to make a diversion to Austin with his current load.
I know, man. The C8 is definitely on my list, guys, for sure. Hey, I want to ask Dave O'Neill about we just had somebody text at us and say, how many years are we going to have brake issues with Haas? I mean,
oh, I know.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things when you're sitting back, as I'm finding now, I've been racing since I was 15. And when you look and analyze things after the race, until you've actually seen everything that has gone on behind the scenes, typically in Formula One, you never have the same problem again. You just can't. So there's things underlying there. You know, it could be the vibration from going over the curbs. One Grosjean spun a couple of times. I think he also went through the gravel. So you've got carbon brakes on there. If you get stones down the inlet duct in the brake cooling, you could have a stone go into the inside of the cooling vents and that could make the disc explode. And then Magnussen's one, it just purely looked from the outside. He was hard on the brakes going into turn one, and the disc exploded. I don't know what happened before that. I don't know if he went off or picked up any debris. Probably not really coincidental that both of them had it, but it'd be interesting to see why the rotor or the pad or what, or the disc bell, you know, it could have been the disc bell, which is a titanium or an aluminium piece or aluminum piece that bolts the disc together. That could have failed. You could have had one of the bolts break. It might not have been the disc. So until we've seen the end of it or the report at the end of it, it's difficult to say what actually went wrong. But my guess would be some form of debris went down the brake ducts on the Grosjean one, and the Magnussen one, I would have thought, is a different kettle of fish.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's good to have your insight. Hey, we got a couple of callers on the line. Let's go to George from Virginia. Hey, George, what'd you think of the race?
I thought it was fantastic, gentlemen. At first, I hope after all this, you and your families are safe and doing well. We haven't spoken in a while, so I definitely want to extend that to everyone associated with the program.
Thanks, George.
As crazy as it sounds, it was a fascinating race to watch. It was obvious that the cars weren't at their peak. There was some rust, but it was some exciting racing. I'm very excited for McLaren. That really is a come from behind story. And Lawson Aulis before his DNF was the Williams driver. I mean, he was, I think, as high as maybe, I think he was maybe in a top 10 or 12th before his DNF. I'm sure, you know, people will, you know, cite races. I've never seen so many DNFs in an F1 race. I mean, mechanical in like forever. And I've been watching it off and on since like 78. But wow, that's all I can say is I can't wait till next week.
George, you're a regular. You've been on the show before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. They try to get me to Austin, but, you know, events just keep coming in the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm worried about how many races we're going to get in. What's your guesstimate?
Well, if they stay in Europe, I don't think it's going to be a problem. But I don't even see any of the professional leagues in America finishing their season.
I know. Yeah.
So I mean, if college football and all that cancels, I don't think it's going to be an F1 race in the U.S. And it may not be one in Canada, but it's 50-50 right now. But look, well, it's
Mexico,
crazy.
Yeah.
I say just have multiple races in Europe. Just look, we're going to cancel Brazil, whatever. We just have like three or four tracks and just have multiple races. Because right now, the spread of the virus in other areas is just, it's just the spikes. It's not justifying having the races, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. What do I know?
George, I remember you calling. I hope your family's doing well now. I wanted to ask you, because we've talked about the pros and cons of this reverse grid topic. I know you talk math a lot. What do you think about the reverse grid idea?
It's crazy. I don't have an opinion on it. I think F1 is, right now, they have so many balls in the air. Right now, some teams are going to remain solvent. And I know y'all touched on it, and I'm not ducking the question. I don't think Haas is going to be around next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see that team progressing. And I don't know the financial situation, but you can't anybody who's been in business, you can't justify those losses. I think that's not their top priority, to answer your question. Like I said, I don't really have an opinion on it, but I'm not against it, and I'm not so much for it. I just think right now we're looking at a sport that, like anything else, is trying to, you know, get its revenue legs under it. But I saw McLaren's situation. I thought McLaren was untouchable financially.
Yeah.
But people aren't buying cars around the world. And I think a lot of people are going to forget this, but at the end of the day, everybody, F1 is set up to move cars. And if people aren't buying cars, it's going to trickle down. It's going to trickle down from the F1. So that's my, I mean, I wish I had a better answer. I just think they have bigger fish to fry than that. The only positives I've seen is 2021 can't get here fast enough. But I think it's going to be a shakeout. I see maybe two teams not being there, Haas and maybe Williams. And that's going to be a shame if that happens.
Well, we don't want that to happen, absolutely. But, George, thank you, buddy. Great to hear your voice. I appreciate you calling in and glad you enjoyed the race. It was a fantastic one. All right, guys. Well, we do need to go to break. And we, don't forget, we've got we've got Dave O'Neill with us, of course, for the season. But we also got a driver guest. We've got Spike Kolbecker on the line. So stick with us through the break. We'll continue our discussion about the Formula One season opener at Austria. Back after these messages.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to dig into a little bit more to that Haas F1 staying or not staying in the sport with Dave O'Neill. But we got a couple of callers. And Andy P., hold on a minute, buddy, because we got Rick from Rhode Island. Rick, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be here. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Very good, Rick. Very good.
Dave and I go back a ways. We took the Ferrari 310B over to Goodwood, and David and I got the team together and took the car over there in about 6 months, wasn't it, Dave? Which was a miracle.
Yeah.
That's a bucket list item and destination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It was something else. But what a race today. I mean, I was watching this thing and I was like, you know, here we go again. It's Mercedes is going to win everything. And then the whole race started falling apart. And, my question is to all of you, and I think it's an ongoing question that's been, you know, throughout the history of F1. But now more that technology is really playing such a huge role in Formula One racing is how much do you put on the actual driver himself, to win races and get podiums? It just seems like it's the technology these days that is the differentiation point between all of these teams. And I can't wait, hopefully, when they make these changes in F1, it was supposed to be next year, but I guess it'll be the following year because of the virus. It'll be really, really interesting to see how these teams match up once there's, you know, somewhat of a level playing field. And I know there's some debate about that currently about that, but I just wanted your guys' take on that.
Go, Jonathan. I've heard you talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, I there's no question that the driver's job has become more and more technical as the years have gone on. If I go back to when I started following Formula One back in the 70s, you know, it was Nigel Mansell dragging a poor car around and all that kind of stuff. And of course, it's got more and more technical. I mean, you just have to look at the racing wheel, the steering wheel, and then add DAS to it with Mercedes. So there's a lot rides on his decisions. But also, as you notice in that race, there's a lot of things that are totally out of their hands. And you know, I don't like it when I hear engineers saying, you know, we're dumbing it down, or we're going to, like when we heard Hamilton saying, I want to go quicker. And it's like, well, we're going to turn you both down. And the commentators said, well, they're not going to slow them down, but they are going to be a bit more cautious. And, you know, I'm not a big fan. I want to see racing drivers drive because they bring a lot to the table. And in the end, when it is, if you got them all in a go-kart, you'd see which one is the best one because there isn't anything to help them, as it were. And there is a big difference between the haves and the have-nots if you compare Mercedes and Williams of a day. But that's just my take. I'd like to see more driver input.
And look at the stories that we talked about right at the end, at the top of the show. Lewis Hamilton, what did the move he make? Was it legal? Was it not? And then the same thing with Lando Norris. I mean, to me, that's what really makes it exciting. Yes, I love the technology as much as anybody in the world, but the driver's input, that's what makes this sport, all motorsports in my mind, worth watching. What about you guys, Dave and Les?
I'm going to say, certainly I love the technology. And, you know, that's been an ongoing debate is Formula One is the top development of technology. That's why the NASA astronauts are so into it. That's why the engineers from NASA are so into it. And the F1 engineers are having fun with the NASA guys. It's the utmost in technology. From a driver's standpoint, Rick, I'd rather see a 6-speed stick shift getting stirred manually with 3 pedals on the floor and that. But that's not what Formula One is. As much as I want to do that myself, it's the technology. I don't want to see the car making decisions. I don't want to see computerized decisions being handled in the car for the driver. That's kind of where I stick, and it can be defined in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I agree with you guys 100%. I mean, just going back to when Dave and I took the Ferrari over to Goodwood, I mean, just getting that car running and Robbie Kerr was our driver in that car and seeing what he had to do to keep it running and hearing a V10 scream down, you know, the hill at Goodwood is just something I wish they would bring back and more manual input versus, you know, drive by, you know, by computer and having crew chiefs, you know, it's sometimes it's frustrating, but obviously seeing technology that eventually makes it into modern day cars and things like that is really exciting. But I think for the purist like myself, you know, it's about, you know, throttle and clutch and gear changes and the smell of gasoline and all of those great things and the inherent danger that comes with all of that and having drivers make, you know, split decisions, you know, to win a race, you know, in some of these penalties that we see in modern F1, to me is just a shame. It makes these guys more complacent and kind of ties their hands. You know, I think that's why Verstappen is such a great breath of fresh air to see him just race really hard. And to be honest, watching, you know, Lewis Hamilton, you know, try to eat up a little bit of the racing surface so the guy can't make the pass. I mean, I think for us as fans, I mean, that's what makes it exciting. And in the drivers, you know, to me, you know, are everything. You know, I mean, nothing to take away from these great modern cars, but I mean, me personally, I love the driver input, and you know, it's just the greatest when you see that kind of racing.
You know, this is also a discussion that goes straight to road cars too, because my son and I were talking about cars fast, this cars, but you know what? All cars are fast. Fast has become ubiquitous. You know, Tesla is the fastest car, quickest car on the planet, but you know, Formula One. What if we start moving backwards a little bit? Jonathan, you've talked about it, how we, you know, horse racing is an example, but you know, in a decade or so, it's like all the technology is going to be so high. Maybe we start moving back to three pedals and stick shifts like you like less. And maybe, you know, I don't, and you know how many people, if you ask polled Formula One, they'd want to go back to V10s or multiple cylinders or whatever. I just think this could be a direction that could happen with the change in the automobile industry.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I do Trans Am, and we call it pure racing because it is just that. It's pure muscle cars, no added input. And people like Rafa Matos, who've been at the high end of IndyCar racing, love it. You know, Connor Daly said, oh, I want to go at that, because it is just that. It's you and your butt against and a lot of engine. And it sounds good. It feels good. It creates good racing. And I don't know. It's very different to single seaters. But Formula One is very different than any other form of motorsport. And as Les alluded to, it's NASA like in its approach to technology.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, who's your guy in Formula One right now?
Well, I'm friends with Zach Brown, so I try to root for Zach. It was great to see them get a podium today. I mean, I just texted him a few minutes ago, and he couldn't be more excited. But in my heart, I've always been a Ferrari guy, so I always root for Ferrari. But having friends in the sport, I try to root for, you know, the people that I know, and I wish them well. But I bleed Ferrari red, and I always have, so... that'll always be my team.
All right, Rick, I'm sitting in my garage. I don't have anything cool like a Ferrari. What's in your garage?
Well, I just traded in my Maserati so during the coronavirus. So I'm waiting for this to all be over so I can get something fun. So, but right now in my driveway is a Data Asai road bike, which I'm getting ready to go out and do 25 miles on. So, and Dave's a big cyclist too. So we share that in common.
All right. Well, hey, Rick, thanks a lot for calling. We appreciate it. I'm glad you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Get to say hi to Dave.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you later, Dave.
Cheers, Rick. Take care.
Cheers, buddy.
Hey, you know,
we got another caller on the line.
We missed asking Spike the key question. We always ask.
I know. We did. We got time. But hold on. But let's get another caller. We got Andy P holding on the call. We don't want to.
Who's
keep
jumping up and down in orange? I'm
I
sure.
I know. Andy P, welcome back to the show.
I called earlier, but I had to catch my breath after that one. I think I literally did wake up my neighbors doing my Gasly impression from Brazil last year.
Oh, there you go. That's great. How about your boy Lando Norris? Unbelievable, right?
Tremendous. That last lap, he'd never shown that before. You know, and Jonathan, we've talked about it. You identified this kid from the Toyota Racing Series, however many years ago it was. And this kid's got the goods, and the car is coming together. It's going to be really, really exciting for the next couple of years. I am beyond thrilled. Like I said, I had to catch my breath.
Andy, I've got another one from the Toyota Series. His name is Spike Culbecker.
I'm not going to forget that name, that's for sure.
Good. See, told you.
I told you, Spike.
Yeah, but it's a good catchy name, and that helps with marketing a lot.
I'll bet. So, Andy, can they sustain it? That's the question. Is this McLaren now stepping forward? They've got 150 million behind them. They borrowed. They're trying to right the ship. Is this back to where we expect McLaren to be, and can they maintain it?
I mean, I certainly would like to think so. I mean, they're going to have a Mercedes power unit coming in next year. They've got the permission to marry that power unit into the chassis the way that they want. The boardroom issues seem to have been kind of resolved finally, so that hopefully the next step is going to be, I think, for them, they need to get some major sponsorship backing. If they can do that, they can actually start to pay down some of the debt that they've taken on and move themselves forward. I'm hoping that this is the start of really good times for a team that's been through a lot in the last 10 years to come back to the front.
I agree, Andy. I am a big fan of the Haas F1 team because they're an American team, but McLaren, with such the name, and right now with Lando Norris, I'm unabashedly a big fan of his too. I'm really excited to see them doing well, and I really and look, it's just good for the sport too. A big name like McLaren, and with all the history, it's fantastic for the sport.
Yeah, if we could get a big four or even big five, I mean, I'm actually very encouraged to see what Racing Point's been doing. You know, you're going to have more races like this where you don't know what's necessarily going to happen. Just somebody's got to catch the Mercedes in front, you know, on pure pace. But, you know, this is why you run races. You don't run it in a laboratory.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the move that Lando would made up? I guess it was Perez right there at the end. What did you think about that, Andy?
He was extremely lucky not to get damaged because I saw Perez turn in on him and they cued to the camera right as the collision happened. And my first thought was, oh no, you know, let's not have a tire fail or a suspension fail. So once he kind of got through that and you could see that the car was okay, I was like, okay.
It was a big lunge though.
Yeah, he did come from a far way back. So, I mean, but it was a move that if he doesn't do that, he nowhere near gets the time gap down in order to finish on the podium. So, but I think he'd established enough of a position to lay claim to the inside corner. And Perez had the whole outside of the rest of that corner if he wanted to steer clear. So it was close, tight racing, but, you know, in my opinion, a clean move by Lando. All right.
Hey, Andy, we got to go to break, buddy. Thank you so much for tuning in and calling in, and congratulations on your team doing so well.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
All right, thanks. All right, guys, let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion and we'll continue that and also get some more input from Dave O'Neill of the Haas F1 team. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after break.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Not a happy camper, Max Verstappen, after today. Wow, yeah. I would not want to be in the back of that trailer when he was coming back there ripping his helmet off. Hey, I know we said we're going to go to Dave O'Neill to talk about Haas F1, but before we do, we have another caller. I've got to get callers on because what a fantastic race today. We got Sean. Sean, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, thanks, guys. Listener out here in San Diego.
Oh, cool.
Wanted to call in and say that you touched on the subject of how the technology was maybe taken away from the drivers. And this was something I did a college presentation on, you know, back in the 90s. And it was how traction control, ABS, and active suspension had become so prominent that it was taking away from what the drivers were doing. And I don't think we've gotten there yet, but I think it definitely can happen. And I think the results from all that technology, all of a sudden, when you took it away, we lost a couple drivers, and, you know, either they lost their lives or destroyed their careers because the cars were driving for them in a sense. And when they took that away, they couldn't handle the speed. And, you know, it's, we lost some good drivers because of it.
Hadn't thought about that angle of it, but I mean, obviously the sport is incredibly safe. The cars are safe. When I say that now, I think of Alonso's crash 2 years ago. I mean, watching that, you feel like the car was just the only thing that saved him. There was nothing he could do, but that's a good point. And I think that we, you know, we have to put safety first, but we got to have good racing. I think we got to
be good driving, and it's got to be where the driver still is the difference, is the X factor. But hey, love the show, guys. Been seen the race in Austin a couple times. I went to the Buxton Bash back in 2017. That was just a phenomenal time. So just love the opportunity to get to go to that. But you guys are doing a great job.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. We appreciate you calling, Sean.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Well, our couple of callers back, we had somebody talking about that they didn't think that, I think it was George saying that that Haas F1 would stay in. Dave, you know, wasn't that long ago you were there. What do you think about that question?
I think it's, I mean, we know the people that are struggling because it's out in the media straight away. So there's no hiding place. You've got Williams and McLaren. But from my side of it, with my experience with Haas, there was no debt run up when I was there, and everything that was bought when we started the team was paid for. You know, there wasn't any credit lines, etc. No one will give us credit to set up a Formula One team. You just don't do that. In my opinion, Gene will carry on doing it as long as he wants to do it. And now with the budget caps coming in, I think that's going to be an interesting dimension to Formula One. And how more secure we can make the teams. We don't want any teams to fall out. They're good names. They're good brand names. They build up the junior drivers to be able to put into the top three teams. A good revenue stream, and we need 10, 11 teams on the grid. So it's run properly there. Gunther does a fantastic job. And in my opinion, as long as Gene's selling machines and he's happy, he'll carry on going racing in Formula One. It's more of an addiction as well, I would say, to keep that going. I can't see any reason to stop. We don't hear about their money troubles because they haven't got any. So it's down to Gene, long and short of it, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Dave, let me ask you a question then. You were involved in Marussia, and I mean, you know, Caterham's gone by the way, Side, Virgin, and so on. Back in the days, Bernie never, you know, would never look at it as his problem. Whereas I feel that Liberty might step up in some way to help bail out a team like Williams for that reason alone. Do you agree with that, or am I being too sort of I don't know, philanthropic?
Yeah, and again, you know, it's all case by case basis. So my take on the Williams side is it was this fantastic team, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, when Sir Frank was running it, and still kind of does a little bit now. But if you have to be brutally honest, they missed the curve in 2010 when the new way of operating should have come in, like the way Haas do it. Which is to buy as much as you can off the shelf. They were up to 500, 600, 700 people, and they didn't downsize. As we all know, it's easier to spend more, and then to spend less is harder. So I think Williams made a mistake there, similar with McLaren. They need to reduce the headcount. The biggest expense in any Formula One team is the headcount. So that's definitely the side that they need to reduce. When it comes to handouts, I don't think we get anything for free. I think if there was getting the money earlier that they were due, I would have thought Liberty Media would do that. The other thing Bernie kind of used to do was lend you enough money so he owned you, if you know what I mean. I don't think Liberty play that game. And of course, they don't want a name like Williams out of it, one of the most successful Grand Prix teams in the living history. I certainly wouldn't want them out, but they need to change their business model, and they probably are. It's just not it's not common knowledge.
I got an idea. Why don't we get, let's call up Gunther and say we're going to get Tesla to sponsor a young Spike Kolbecker.
Yeah.
And get an American in an American team with an American sponsor, and get Elon Musk to write that check. How does that sound, Spike?
That would be actually really amazing, and I would be pretty happy just to meet. Is that Elon or Elon?
Elon,
Elon. Okay, yeah. I've seen some of his cars, and I'm quite impressed with his Tesla Roadster that hasn't been released yet. But
the rocket powered one.
Hey, yeah, Spike, what do you get involved with in Dayton now? Because you've gone up the ranks from Formula Ford to now, you know, to Formula Four. How hard is it working with an engineer now? Not for the first time, but getting to trust that as you go up.
You know, it's really, really important to trust your engineer. I trust my engineer, my mechanic, and my team owner a lot. And this past weekend we had at Mid-Ohio is very, very important for me to trust them, because we're intermediate between rain and dry. And we were on the radio talking and having very important conversations, because, I mean, we're staying wets or dry. And other than that, the data with Tim Neff, my engineer, he's a very good guy. And he runs the show with all the adjustments, and he does all the hard work, as I like to say. And but I really like working with him, and the data is a very key, important part in any types of racing.
Hey, Dave, you were about to say something. We cut you off.
I know. I was going to say what we were talking about earlier about F1 and how many systems you've got in place and how many systems they cancelled out. And the Formula One's all about innovation. And I think that's what we have to keep reminding ourselves is it's the pinnacle of motorsport. And you can have the systems on, but the bit that makes the car go the quickest is the downforce and how much downforce you can put the car, put on the car. The two variables on the car, which will never change, are the tires and the driver. So that's why, you know, the innovation's there, and that's why the design process is there, is to design things that make it, to Spike's point, is to make the data readable. So a driver's input, you know, did he have understeer? Did he not? You know, it's, yeah, he might have done, but was there a gust of wind? Okay, well, maybe there's a gust of wind through one of the quick corners at the Lesmo in Italy. So those are the things you have. You have the variant is the driver and the tires. The tires degradate, so you put them on and they only get worse. It's how long you can keep them in the window for. And that's the brilliant thing about F1 is it's so quickly, you know, it develops so quickly. There's not one car that will be on the grid next weekend for the Austrian Grand Prix that will have everything the same on it as it did this weekend. Fact, you know, even the smaller teams like Marussia, every Grand Prix, we sometimes had 20 different things on the car, from downforce to software upgrades to a flick up on the driver's helmet. You know, it could be anything. So that's what makes it really interesting for me. That's the bit I kind of miss, is the innovation and the technology that's there. And I personally don't think it should change. And that's why we're here today, because we love it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I went down a different path earlier, but I think that that's the reason that we all get involved in it. So I can't argue with that. Well, guys, we are out of time, but we're going to do this all again next Sunday morning in back in Austria again for the Steiermark GP. They're calling it the Steiermark instead of the Austria.
The Styrian.
Styrian Mark. That's right. That's right.
The name of the region of the mountains.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Spike Kohlbecker for coming on, buddy. Good luck with your season and your career. And thanks for all the callers that called in. And we will talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trails.
Happy days.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.